What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Thursday night. It's November 6th, 2025. Hope everybody had a good Halloween holiday, I almost said. Hope everybody had a good Halloween for those who dressed up, went trick-or-treating maybe with their kid, handed out candy, watched horror films, whatever you did. If you celebrate, hopefully you had a good one. Tanner Lee, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch. Back at it with a new episode streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, all those things so you know when we're dropping a new episode or going live. Webby, good to have you back this week.
Good to be back.
Yep, we teased doing the basketball predictions, didn't we? Didn't we, Aaron?
I thought you were serious.
Oh, we could have been.
Yeah. I wouldn't have blamed you.
You didn't listen.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I've listened to any podcast the last 2 weeks. It's been bad.
Yeah. We knew if you would have listened to the first 5 minutes, you would have known we were joking.
But
it's all good. All good. We weren't going to let you miss the basketball preview. I mean, Aaron and I like Purdue basketball. Don't get us wrong, but I think Webby's on a different level. I think it's rock music, Purdue basketball, your wife and family and friends, of course, but like, right there.
Yeah, depends on the day.
Very well said. Very well said. But how's it going, guys? How are we feeling? You know, it's a fun time of year when this podcast rolls around when we can talk football and basketball. Unfortunately, most years it's basketball can take our focus away from football. There's been a couple of years where it's intertwined and been fine on both sides. But how are we feeling right now? Basketball's got one game under their belt. Football's only got three left. But at least they showed some fight Saturday night in the Big House.
Yeah, the basketball team's definitely made me more just energetic, I'd say. Kind of forget there's a game on. You know, I'm going to the game on Saturday. Kind of forget there's a game on Saturday just because of I'm just – it sucks this point. Just, you know, where we're kind of at right now. It's not very fun to be a fan when you go to one of these games and you kind of just know what's going to happen.
And it just, you know, I sit back, I'm like, even though we lost to Minnesota and Rutgers, I'm like, why couldn't it be Michigan State or Maryland or Wisconsin, just somebody? Why does it have to be Ohio State coming up on Saturday? You know, I mean, I'm going to the game, but I got to be honest. I don't know the last time I've been this least excited about going to a Purdue football game. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think that segues right in blind rankings already.
let's do it.
Do we want to talk about anything last for Saturday?
We can do it after the blind rankings.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So this week's blind rankings. Yes, that comment is true at this point.
Yes.
Purdue basketball greater than football.
Yep.
Since we were playing Ohio State this weekend, first time in our lifetime that we've seen a number one team come into Ross-Ed, Tanner.
Which is wild. I could have sworn it's happened before.
1989 was the last time.
Wild.
I thought it did too. I either thought Ohio State was number one.
Yeah.
One of these years, especially.
I guess I thought. What was Oregon last year when they came in?
I think they were two or three. Because they weren't one at that time.
Who did they lose? Did they lose in the regular season? They didn't lose in the regular season, did they?
No, they
didn't lose until the playoff.
They lost. Yeah, they didn't lose to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Huh. I'm surprised they weren't number one, especially because they had a win over Ohio State early in the year.
Well, we might see two number one teams.
Yeah.
In a month.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
We could. So, since we're playing Ohio State this weekend, we're a bad football team once again. I thought we'd do a blind ranking segment based off of when you turn off the TV, if it was a away game, or if you left at halftime. And I did recent blowout games in our lifetime against Ohio State. So we'll have a couple from Walters, Brom, Hope, and our boy Hazel. So how you're going to rank this is A, based on how the game was going before halftime, did you turn off the TV if it was in Columbus? or did you just walk out of the stadium if it was at home?
Okay.
I think I've maybe left like three games early in my lifetime.
It can't
there
be
was, bad. I went a long time without leaving one, but it seemed like once 2013 or 14 hit, I've left more early than I like to admit.
The earliest I've ever quit watching or left was that Wisconsin game. It was a, like just pouring down rain. Monte Ball was just like,
hey, you bastards. I had to be on the freaking sidelines for the whole game.
I was in the stands with like six other people just toughing it out.
Yeah, you stayed.
Hating life.
You stayed. Yeah,
wait, miserable. So is one like this is like
miserable. I got to turn this off.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
I know. I think I know what my one's going to be.
Oh, I figured you know which one it is.
I can't remember half these games, so it's going to be fun for me.
I'm going to sprinkle in some detail here.
Yeah.
Two of them came from Walter's era. So we'll start with last year, November 9th. Ohio State wins in Columbus, 45-0. Will Howard and the boys took it to Walter's and company, and it was not much of a contest.
Well, I'm putting that 5 because I watched the whole thing.
What?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. I didn't turn it off. I watched the whole thing.
I
didn't enjoy it, but I watched the whole thing.
This one actually might, like, I don't want to do it just because I've never really turned off games early and or left early. But last year, like, legit broke me as a fan. I don't want to put this at one, but I'm pretty sure I shut this off like earlier than I have a long time. I'll go 2 just to save the 1. Let's go 2.
Okay.
But it was like that Penn State, because I didn't go to the Penn State game. I didn't go to the Oregon game. Like,
I didn't go to Oregon last year.
If my wife wasn't an IU fan, I probably would have shut that game off at, like, probably even watched the game last year. Like, it was bad. That's the worst I've ever been in terms of like,
I watched
like,
the entire IU game last year.
Oh, I did too.
It was rough.
Yeah.
But this was a joke last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you knew it going into it was going to be a joke. I mean.
Wasn't as bad as the Notre Dame game, though.
No.
No.
Which I left that one at halftime.
Yeah, you did.
All right. So, Tanner, you put it at 5. Heaven, you put it at 2.
Yeah.
On to the next one. October 14th, 2023. Ohio State comes in the Ross Aid and jumps on Purdue for a 41-7 win. It was 20-0 by halftime with Ohio State, was 34-0 at the end of the third quarter. That's when I turned it off. Cade Stover like went off that game. McCord was that quarterback. Devin Brown was coming in on red zone packages and rushed and threw for a touchdown. I don't think he's on that squad anymore.
Wasn't the weather really crappy that day?
Yeah, it was raining. We missed like 3 field goals.
Yeah.
Yep.
Early.
I'll put that at 4. I'm pretty sure I stayed that whole game. I might have left a little early just because of the weather. But I don't remember being like just distraught. It was kind of like, I mean, again, it was first year head coach. Like, it was like, yeah, you know, it's Ohio State, you know, these things happen. Was that the first game since 2018? It was kind of one of those things where like, I had no
back and Ross say,
yeah,
Ross and Ross, yeah.
I know Bulls was talked about where it's like Ryan Day was, you could definitely tell like he wasn't going to lose to Purdue. Like you probably, they came out on a mission and just took it to us. Yep. But yeah, I'll put that at 4.
Like I'll put it at 3. I think I left after the third quarter. I remember it was my mother-in-law's. She's been to 2 Purdue football games. That was her first one. I've just felt terrible. That was her first experience. Her second experience was last year Indiana State. A lot better. Yeah, I'll put it at 3. I don't know. I don't remember when I left, but I left.
All right.
Because pain loves misery. That's why. Got a comment for everybody listening. Got a comment here on YouTube. Evan looks broken trying to talk about these games. What are you doing to him?
It's all right. Build character.
Blame Aaron. Blame Aaron. He's the one who comes up with these depressing blind rankings.
Hey, if we only had a few more weeks of this, and then from here on, it should be good stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Next one. We're actually just going in chronological order. November 13th, 2021, Ohio State beats Brom and Company 59-31 in Columbus. So if you remember, Ohio State jumped all over Purdue in the first quarter. It was tied at one point when AOC did throw a touchdown pass to Anthrop, Jackson Anthrop, that is. But after that, they raced out to a 45-17 lead at half. Stroud was not touched this game, if you remember.
I I wish I could have put this at 5. I'll put it at 4. I remember watching the whole game. I remember not being that mad about it because the defense was terrible, but Purdue scored. I mean, put up 35 points against Ohio State. So yeah, was the first time we'd played them since 2018. So you knew they
revenge.
I didn't feel that bad coming out of that game.
No, hey, this is my 5. Yeah, I remember thinking that game, 2021, that was the year we won 9 games too. So it's not like it was a bad season. Yeah, I remember it was kind of just one of those things, like, we're playing at Ohio State, first time since, you know, the Tyler Trent game. You knew they were going to be fired up. Mm. Again, with Ryan Day, a coach, they weren't going to – he doesn't lose to teams he's not supposed to lose to, typically, outside of Michigan. But, yeah, the fact that we put up 30-some points in the shoe is pretty good, all things considered. Mm-hmm.
That offense had – 4 first rounders on it and a second rounder and Travion Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
No, 5. Yeah. Sorry, because Simmons, left tackle. They played through KC.
It's like their roster this year. They arguably got 4 of the top 5 players in college football on the roster. Just ridiculous.
Garrett Wilson, Olave, Marvin Harris Jr., Stroud, Simmons. Forget who the tight end was, but it wasn't. Henderson was the second round pick. So you had 5. And a second round pick to Henderson. But unreal. Yeah, we couldn't touch Stroud that game. Stroud completed 31 for 38 for 361, 5 TDs. I turned this game off by half, but I remember all Purdue's points happened after halftime when Brown made adjustments. All right.
So I've done 2, 4, and 5. So I got 1 and 3 left.
Okay. I got 1 and 2 left.
Yep. And I think Tanner knows exactly which of these are coming up. So. 4th one, November 2nd, 2013. OSU rolls the largest margin of victory. I didn't think. Do you want me to read you some stats from this game?
Left at halftime. That was the first time I'd ever done that. Yeah, it was bad.
So, Hazel's first time going against OSU. Braxton Miller only played a half in this game.
Yeah.
And went 19 for 23 for 233 and 4 TDs with one interception. This increased Urban Meyer's streak to 22 in a row. Freshman quarterback Danny Etling was 13 of 29 for 89 yards and sacked 6 times.
Oh, my
God. At this time, he had entered into 4 games and already had been sacked 19 times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Here is the best stat of them all, folks. Purdue hadn't taken a snap in the red zone since late September, actually September 28th against Northern Illinois at this point. It is November 2nd, 2013.
That's why Hazel was the worst coach in school history to me. I mean, Walters was awful too, but there's some stats in the Hazel era that just...
I'm glad I pulled that one out. That was horrendous. I was sitting there looking at games.
I don't remember that game all that well. I'm sure I was there, but yeah, that'll be my 1 because it's just, I mean, I'm sure I stayed.
Left with me, Webby, at halftime. I think I maybe convinced you to. I think.
Maybe, yeah.
I think. Yeah, because it was bad. Like, it was because that year, that game and the Nebraska game kind of broke me that year from leaving early. Like,
yeah.
I remember leaving against Northern Illinois early that year.
Yeah.
I don't remember this game.
I knew it was coming because we should have had them the year before. So they were pissed, wanted to make a statement. And it was just, it was just ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely you're both number 1. I was not going to be surprised. But the number 2, and I think Tanner knew this one was coming too. Yeah. October 23rd, 2010.
Yeah.
Danny Hope and company lose OSU 49-0. This game was legit over at halftime. It was 42-0.
I remember watching my dorm room. I don't know if I watched the whole thing. Rob Henry broke his finger, pretty much got it stuck in a guy's face mask.
Oh,
trying to stiff arm him.
Because he was not, before he exited the game, he had a QBR of like 24 or 28. 28. It was 28 because he was 9 for 18, 58 yards. Yeah. And he was still our leading rusher when he left the game with 26 carries on 26 yards and 5 carries. Sean Robinson entered the game. Yep. And his QBR the rest of the game was 4-4. It was 4.
Yeah, that was easily we got killed at Illinois too that year. But that team, even though they went 4-8, they didn't get killed a lot. But that game, they just got murdered. Yeah.
The, the two things I remember from this game were there was only two good kick returns, and it was Altrek McBurse, who had a kick return for 26 yards, and O.J. Roth, that had a kick return.
Those are names from the past.
Yes, they are.
Florida boys.
For 35 yards. I also remember being heavily penalized this game on defense.
No, that's no surprise.
Seven penalties for 64 yards.
That was Jim Tressel era still.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was his last year.
It was Terrell Pryor.
Yep, because Fickell took over as interim the next year, who is coming back to Wisconsin, which I think is a mistake, but time will tell, I guess. But
ask J.J. Watt that question. All right, Evan, what was
that's my third? That's why I left was the three. Right. Yeah.
So if you had to re-rank them, I think
I put the Brom game at 5.
Would you move the Walters game up further to 3?
Even though I watched all that, I think I put the Walters game up at 2, 2010 at 3, and then the first Walters game at 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might put the game last year at 1 just because I don't remember 2013 all that well, but I remember last year, I'm pretty sure I shut it off. Like, not after halftime, but it was like we did something, and I was just like, I was so mad.
Yep.
Well, hopefully this weekend we ain't shutting it off in the first quarter, or you leave it in the first quarter.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. It's going to get ugly. But they call the dogs off usually, unlike some other teams. But, yeah. Aaron, you thought last Saturday was going to get real ugly, and it never did. So. Nope.
Never did, and it was actually a decent fight, but can convert turnovers in the points.
Yeah, good fight, but frustrating because Purdue really had their chances. I understand Underwood fumbled going in the end zone. Hey, that stuff happens. It's football. Mm-hmm. Can't convert, can't take advantage in the red zone. Yeah, I mean Purdue won the turnover battle. If you told me that before the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you convert those into points, we win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't like, and I know Barry said he would do it again. I did not like the 3 QB draws up the middle. No. I was fine going for them fourth down, but I thought they'd bring Ryan Brown back in the game for that play, and they didn't.
Or just do something different. Like, I'm not saying like get crazy with it, but just not the same play you ran before.
Henson said the same thing as Barry. Because I watched Henson's press conference too. I actually was thinking about this during the game. And I put in the holster for tonight to ask you, Bo, is this the least creative, one of the least creative coaching staffs we've seen in a while in regards to just they don't scheme guys. They know they're outmatched talent wise. And I don't know why they're just not rolling the dice.
I don't think Harrell schemed very well.
I still think it's better than last year, whatever the hell they put on the field. I mean, those wide receivers were awful. Anything's better than John Shoup. That guy was the freaking worst. I went back and watched. I got a sad life. I went back earlier this year and watched some things from 2013. And, like, the formations. I'm like, what are you? You're trying to run stuff you ran with the Bears with this roster in 2013. It was just atrocious. But, no, it's still not good right now. I took some positives away. I thought Thomas and Harris played good at running back. And they're going to have
that Mockaby.
Mockaby's nice done for his career, which really sucks. Hate that he goes out 13 yards short of 3,000. It's going to be a lot of people go down as a lot of people's one of their favorite Boilers of all time just for his loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, that tight end room just doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what you got a scheme around it. You know, you got what you got. We're 3 months into the season. I'd be rolling the dice real hard and saying make or break and trying to get some dubs.
Yeah.
I just don't see them wanting to do it. I think they're sticking to this plan of discipline and things like that. And I'm like, you are who you are at this point.
Yeah. I thought they were pretty disciplined the other night for playing in front of 111, 112,000, whatever the big households. There wasn't too many penalties, I didn't think. I didn't think discipline was an issue. It was just converting. I mean, that's what it came down to. And at the end, Michigan's got the ball with 6 minutes left. Purdue couldn't stop them. Run. I mean,
I will say discipline in regards to penalties. Yes, I agree with you that discipline in regards to gap rushing and rush lanes lying Underwood. I understand he's phenomenal. He's going to be a first round quarterback in 3 years. There's no doubt about it. But Powell had him for a couple sacks if he just doesn't run past the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's completely over pursuing.
Got a comment here on YouTube. I wouldn't want any of the Bears offensive schemes in my game plan, but people have seen their offense, right? Well, this year it's not too bad. But why I made that reference, if you didn't already know, is John Shoup was a offensive coordinator for the Bears at one time before he got to Purdue. That's why I made that reference. So yeah, it was, I don't know. Hard. I mean, I hate taking moral victories, but the fact that we came out with, I mean, that was besides the 09 game when we won at Big House, that was the best we've played in my lifetime at the Big House. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where I knew we weren't going to win going into the game, but it was nice to, unfortunately, I never had the feeling of like we can win this thing because we just couldn't make the plays when we needed to or get the stops when we needed to, which was really frustrating. You kind of just knew that if they got the 3rd and 4, like they were probably going to get it if they ran it. If you could hold them to like a 3rd and 7 and make them throw, then hey, I liked, you know, at least you leave it up to some chances. But we're able to move the ball, which was nice. I think, yeah, a lot of what they're going to do is just, especially against like Ohio State and definitely against Indiana, they're probably just going to try and hold the ball for as long as they can, keep that other offense off the field, because otherwise they're going to, well, definitely Indiana, they're going to put up 80. And that's not an exaggeration, I don't think, unfortunately.
Unless Mendoza goes down.
Right. You just got to try and keep them off the field as much as you can, but it's hard when you just don't have the horses up front.
They'll just run it down our throats of Roman if he goes down. About the
line. Well, I couldn't believe how many injuries they sustained against Maryland. It didn't matter. I mean, the defense, but I mean, they were losing guys left and right against Maryland. I don't know how long they're out for, but.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that hopefully this coaching staff looks themselves in the face, because I do not want to be back here at the same point of 2-8.
Oh, you can't,
or 2-7 next year. I don't think any fan does.
You can't be. I mean, the schedule's better next year on paper.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't ever remember a month being this brutal. Predictable history as this November paper.
All 14s ranked.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, there was the whole thing of like, I was talking to somebody at work the other day. It was just like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Tennessee fan who works for my company. And we were just talking like Big Ten, SEC, and just like, we were just kind of talking about like scheduling and all that kind of stuff. And we were like I agree with them of like, I think the Big Ten has, you know, as good of teams as anybody against in the SEC. But the bottom is so bad. Bottom is so bad.
Yeah.
And I was telling him, it's like, you know, you look at team like Indiana, which I'm not trying to, you know, throw shit. I mean, as much as I want to throw shit, I can't, because they're incredible right now. But I think they've played like 4 ranked teams, not including the playoff, because it's a playoff. I think like they've played like 4 ranked teams in the last 2 years. Yeah. Purdue plays 4 ranked teams in November. Yeah. Like it's just like just the imbalance of it all. Like it's just wild.
Yep.
Which, I mean, like, compared to them, they're taking care of business and winning by 50 every game.
They're putting up, like, college football video games.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It really is. But it's just crazy. When you look at, like, I was talking to Mike, my friend, it's just like, I'll see, like, you know, well, I was telling him, I was like, on our podcast, we'll go through and, like, check, we'll do, like, you know, predicting games. And it's like, when we get to the top 25, we see the SEC games, I'm like, geez, like, just, like, just the, like, week to week. And, like, even, like, a team like Mississippi State, who's not great, like, they'd smack us like crazy. Like, and they're one of the bottom teams in the SEC.
I think the only SEC team we could probably compete with Kentucky right now.
Right.
That's about Arkansas. The only one. Yeah. Arkansas can score. They just can't stop up nothing. They can't stop anything. But yeah, that's true. Arkansas, Petrino. So, real quick, before we shift gears into basketball, Ohio State, the history, actually, Purdue's had better history against these guys than a lot of schools. Since 1989, so from 1989 through last year, Purdue's beat them 5 times, which is a lot better than a lot of schools.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. 0-9 in the shoe, but have beat them 5 times and lost 9 times in Ross 8.
So. Before we head forward on this, helmet stickers for last week? I'll go first if you
Yeah, go sure.
Helmet sticker's going to Spencer Porath.
Bomb. See, you can't say Jack this time because Jack hit a bad putt.
Jack
momentum.
Correct. That happens though. If we score points off turnovers, we still win.
Yeah.
I still think, but that hearing Jake Butt, he don't have the leg for this. He don't have the leg for this.
That Jake Butt was butt. That's what he was during that game.
So it's funny to say, like, that is the Chicago Sports Network crew with like Brooke Fletcher, him, and I was like, I know they subcontract them out for this, and I'm just like, man, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was awful.
So Spencer definitely gets it. What a leg.
I'm going to take Smiley Bradford. I thought he played pretty well. He laid a big hit on their wide receiver one time. I thought he was flying around the field pretty good. And I know he's not always had bright moments, so I'll give it to Smiley.
I'll give it to Taj Rael. 13 tackles. The next closest was 6, which is not great when your DB is getting 13.
You know how many times we've said that over the years?
Every year. 11 were solo, flying around the field. I think him and Manny are tied in the Big Ten for most
tackles. All three of them.
All three of them.
Yeah. I saw a graphic today with 81.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Not good, but crazy.
Because they're out there all the time. That's
not bad for linebackers. Not bad for linebackers, but great when you're DB. Yeah.
And I give this guy a lot of flack when I'm watching the games, but I'll give Hines another honorary helmet sticker. Good pick. Yeah.
That was a good pick.
I thought he has struggled a lot, but he gave up a big play there.
When it happened, I thought it was just tip ball. It's like, just right place, right time. But then I was like, no, he just jumped it perfectly. Yep. So it was good.
And the wide receivers didn't, that I can think of off the top of my head, have many, if any, drop passes.
Yeah.
It was a lot cleaner of a game.
I mean, the fact that you go into the Big House and you only give up 21 points, like that's kind of unheard of. Especially like for like a Purdue team. It's just, it just sucks that the offense
they just can't score enough.
Yep.
So. You guys want to pick Big Ten games real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. Friday night, USC number 19 host Northwestern. USC's 14.5-point favorites.
Give me USC.
I agree. Number 2, Indiana, 14.5-point favorite at Happy Valley against Penn State.
This is their only chance of a potential loss. ESPN predictor gives them an 82.7% chance to win, which is nuts. Obviously, Penn State sucks. I am curious to see how their defense. I mean, their defense is pretty solid. I know they got that Jim Knowles guy who was at Ohio State the last year, but that quarterback's not great. I think Indiana wins pretty handily.
I really want to say Penn State's going to cover, but I think IU wins by like 17.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they run it up even more, though.
They'll try. Yeah. I mean, he tries every week, so. Maryland at Rutgers, who's a 2.5-point favorite. Big game for both teams. Maryland's 4-4, Rutgers 4-5.
Yeah, give me Rutgers.
I'm going to take Rutgers at home, even though they looked awful against Illinois last week.
Give me Loxley and the boys. I believe in this team.
They've lost 4 in a row.
I know. I still believe them.
This is a good game. Number 9, Oregon at number 20, Iowa. Oregon's a 6.5-point favorite.
This is probably game of the week. Isn't it?
No.
Well, in the Big Ten.
Bama LSU ain't game of the week.
The game day is going to Texas Tech.
That is them and BYU. That's true.
Yep. I can't watch on YouTube TV. Thanks, Disney. Jerks.
Life ain't that bad. I'm going to pick Iowa here. I think
God.
Most disciplined team in the country. Dan Lanning is 11-7 against ranked teams in his career. That is surprising. He only wins by a margin of like 6.8.
Oregon's won 10 straight road games, taking the Ducks.
Have you seen Gronowski's stat line for the year?
It sucks.
They've played 8 games. He has thrown for 946 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions.
Ugh.
Good God. And they're somehow ranked.
And they killed Minnesota. 47.
Honestly, they're the team that there's the one team that's given Indiana a game, and they might win that game if Gronowski doesn't go out.
Yeah.
Like late in the game, because their backup quarterback came in and forgot how to live. I don't know. He sucked.
I think if Iowa does pull this off, Oregon's definitely out of the CFP.
Yeah.
And you probably can insert Iowa into the CFP. Because then that's their loss to their Iowa State.
That's so gross.
Well, it is. But their loss to their Iowa State, IU, and who else am I missing?
They've lost two games.
They lost two games.
And the Iowa State game was put by a field goal.
Yeah, they've lost two games by eight points.
They go to USC next week. That could be a huge game if both teams win this week.
Yeah. It could be one of those things where if they do beat Oregon, it could be a win and in type. Yep. Like, obviously, assuming you don't lose out, but like whoever wins that game could be get that last spot.
Yep.
I think if Oregon loses this week, this is a lock for Notre Dame.
I think they're in regardless, unless they lose a game.
Yep, I do too. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Who are you taking, Webby? I didn't hear you pick.
Oh, Oregon.
Oregon. Number 23, Washington, 10.5-point favorites at 2-6 Wisconsin, like I said earlier, who came back out and said Fickell is going to remain the coach through next year.
Curious to see what the crowd's like in this game now that that's been announced, especially if they get down like
big
21-3 at halftime or something like that. I think Washington, runs all over them.
Washington does. I still think there's time between now and the end of the year if this gets ugly to fire Fickell. I don't think.
Oh yeah,
set in stone.
Yeah, I'm taking the Huskies in this one. And Nebraska, who is 6-3, travels a 3-5 UCLA. He's a 1.5-point favorite. Nebraska's got a backup quarterback the rest of the way this year.
I wouldn't say UCLA in this one. They gave Rule an extension.
Yeah. I'll take UCLA in this one.
I'll take the Huskers, so it's not a clean sweep across the board.
They'll probably have as many fans as UCLA does, if not more.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Top 25 games real quick. Number 7, BYU at number 8, Texas Tech. 8-0 BYU, 8-1 Texas Tech, but Texas Tech is a 10.5-point favorite. I tell you, BYU gets no respect week in and week out.
I'll say Texas Tech, but they don't cover.
Is there – starting quarterback back? Texas Tech?
I have no idea.
Okay. If he is, now I'll take.
I assume with that line he is, but I don't know.
I think it's guns up or shoot him up.
Guns up.
Okay.
Maybe you should know. That's his team on our football dynasty. Yeah.
Guns up.
Yeah, I'm taking Tech here. Number 3, Texas A&M at number 22, Missouri. A&M is a 6.5-point favorite.
A&M, I think A&M wins by double digits. Yeah.
A&M as well. Vanderbilt, number 16, 7-2, hosts 4-5 Auburn, who has an interim head coach. Vanderbilt's a 6.5-point favorite.
I think Vandy bounces back after losing.
Yep, Vandy.
I'm taking Auburn in the upset. I have not seen a team that has such a good defense and such a bad offense as this Auburn team. But I think they get fired up for 1 week and pull out the upset. 5-4 California at 7-1, number 15, Louisville, who's an 18.5-point favorite.
Jimmy Brohm and company.
Jeffrey trying to get in the playoff. Yeah, I'd take
a look. I think they're a lock, in my opinion.
Wow, they got to win the ACC.
I think they're
going with Cal. The annual Brohm stinker shows up.
he's had moments the last few weeks. It looked like it was going to happen, and then they pull it out. Notre Dame, number 10, is 26.5-point favorites against 7-1 Navy that lost their first game to North Texas last week.
By the jolly.
Notre Dame.
By the jolly. This ship ain't going down.
Wait. Are you picking them to cover, or are you picking Navy to win?
I'm picking them to win.
Oh, my God. Well, you did pick Maryland to beat Indiana, and you picked UCLA to beat Indiana. So, hey, you're bound to hit. You're bound to hit on one of these big ones. So, I'm taking Notre Dame by 30.
It's going to be cold, and it's going to be raining. And that's going to turn the snow on set. And then they play Saturday night because that's the Peacock game, too.
Yeah.
So, Navy's going to run it all over them. That defense is not great. It's not last year. By the Jolly Roger, folks.
I hope you're right. Trust me. I hope you're right.
This would be great because Navy would be in the playoffs then.
And number 4, 7-1, Alabama hosting 5-3. LSU also has an interim head coach as Brian Kelly was fired I guess last, 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks ago. But they haven't played a game. Alabama's 9.5-point favorites. I think they roll. Roll Tide.
Yeah.
And Purdue against Ohio State. What's the line up to now? 30.5 by Ohio State. Game prediction, MVP, and spicy bowl prediction.
I'll go first. I think Ohio State wins, but doesn't cover because it's 49-10. Sneak that in there. MVP. I'm not picking Ohio State guy because I don't care. I'm gonna say, I go Manny Powell. I think he gets a couple sacks. We'll say that. All right. Not sure how, but he does. Spicy. Yikes.
Yeah.
Purdue was leading at one point in the game.
Yeah, that's pretty bold. That's pretty spicy.
And does Barry pull Lee Corso and put his team on the field and take a picture?
I'm going Ohio State 52, Purdue 13. So I'm right about with you. Player of the game. God, I don't know. Michael Jackson, he finds his way into the end zone for a second time this year. We're still waiting to see a dance. Spicy bull prediction. Oh, geez. Purdue's either leading or tied after the first quarter.
What?
Then it gets ugly. Then it gets very ugly.
Really? Okay.
It could be like 7-7 at the first quarter, and then it just gets ugly.
Could be 3-0.
Who knows? It could be. Hold the ball for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Score prediction. Did you say 52-10? 52-13?
I said 52-13. Yeah. Maybe say 49-10.
I'm going to go 56-24.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to put up some points.
I wouldn't be mad at that. We put up 24 points on that defense. It's a pretty good defense.
Well, the only reason why we're putting up 24 points is because the second stringers are going to be in.
I'll take it.
It's start for Purdue.
Easily.
Bold prediction. I think Jeremiah Smith's just going to dominate. Cardale Tate's going to go.
The question. How good of a game does Max Clair have?
Oh, forgot and about
does,
him.
And does the Purdue faithful boo him when he gets a catch? Yeah, yes. They will. Yeah.
The smart fans do.
Yeah.
He'll score at least a touchdown. He only has two on the year, I think, but he'll score.
Yeah, he'll score at least two. It'll be like a Cade Stover game, kind of like back what we just went through in blind rankings. It'll be something like that. But he's not my player of the game. Neither Jeremiah Smith, Cardale Tate, even though I know they're going to tear us up. Or Julian Sayin. Purdue, it'll be a Purdue player. It'll be Elijah St. John. He'll have two pancakes.
Just two.
He'll get out in space. He'll give up zero. Well, he'll give up four, probably two or three sacks. But
how can he be your player of the game then if he gives up two or three sacks?
Because those two pancakes are going to be big pull blocks where Harris is going to run up the middle or Malachi Thomas, one of the two.
I really thought he was going to figure out who one of the gunners was. I'm still waiting for it. We got a few more weeks for him to pull that one out.
We still got a long snapper. Just
the holder.
Clean, crisp snaps all night.
Purvis actually played well last week. So
He did.
So
he did.
I'm hoping the other guard in St. John played well too in this case. So St. John will be my player of the game. Bold prediction. I think it's going to start raining, and you two are going to leave before the end of the third quarter.
Ugh, I don't want to sit in the rain. It sounds miserable.
That's why you'll both leave.
Yeah. All right. All right, done with football talk. So now it's our 2025-2026 basketball preview show, even though we spent the first 40 minutes talking majority football. Webby, you were in the house the other night, Mackey Arena, for Purdue's 82-51 win, season opening win against the Evansville Purple Aces. No trade Kaufman Wren in action the other night due to a hip winner. hopefully he'll be back tomorrow night against Oakland. If not, the main thing is get him healthy next Thursday when the Boilers travel down to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide in a game. As of right now, I won't be able to watch unless I go somewhere because Disney and YouTube TV are a bunch of greedy. You know what? But how was it? How was the atmosphere the other night? Anything new in Mackey we need to know about?
It was warm. It was very warm in there. Long sleeves was a terrible choice that I decided on. No, it was awesome. I made it just in time for starting lineups. Those 6:30 games are tough to make coming from.
Yeah, me. I don't like them. Even watching them on TV.
Yeah. Atmosphere was great. Wasn't Mackey at his best.
CBS.
But it got there, especially in the second half when Lawyer went on his kind of little heater that he had. Definitely tell there was some nervous energy to start when we were just missing a lot of bunnies, but it was fine. In terms of things that are new,
nervous before the game.
I was. Yeah. It's more just get off to a good start. The scoreboards inside the arena, like the ones up in the rafters, they just updated the look of them, in terms of the design. I liked it. I thought it made it easier for you kind of be able to read stats. They've added a noise meter, which doesn't look super accurate, but I thought that's just kind of a cool little gimmick that they've got going on. They added when the guys are coming out in the starting lineup where they have the fog that shoots up or whatever. I think they changed those. They just have Purdue logo going on it. They look pretty cool, look professional. I don't think they had that last year. I could be wrong, but I don't know. Other than that, it was just good to be back in Mackey, despite being super hot. Got loud. It was, it was actually funny. I knew I was back in basketball mode from the jump because when Evansville hit a three, there was a fan behind their bench. A guy stood up and just immediately started talking trash to people. And I was like, man, I was ready to fight immediately. I went into it okay, this is, it's gonna be a fun game. It's gonna hang out. And I saw that guy stand up. I was like, nope, this is, I'm watching Michigan State right now. No, but it was great to be back. I mean, Benner, shout out to Jack Benner for stepping in his, first official game, playing pretty well at the four.
Not scared to shoot it.
Not scared to shoot it. It has a great looking shot. It looks good even when he misses. You can tell Braden was not even looking to score at all, which is, I think, going to be probably a theme for a lot of these, especially the lesser opponents. I'm curious to see how he kind of changes that next Thursday because we're going to need him to score. That's kind of what made him so good last year was he was such a threat to score. But it was, I liked rebounding was obviously an issue, but again, they were shooting 36 threes or something like that. And they missed a lot of them. You can tell it was kind of a first game. It's just some sloppiness, missing Jacobson missed a lot of bunnies at the rim, which also, I think also too, it just shows how great of a player Zach Edey was. Cause those were just felt like they were automatic when he took those types of shots. But when you see anybody else take those shots, they're, sometimes feels like a 50-50 chance, but
even Isaac Haas, AJ Hammonds. I mean, we were pretty spoiled,
Yeah. It's cool to see Leah Murphy is actually more versatile than I was expecting him to be. I was kind of expecting a guy just to park his butt in the corner and just kind of wait, but he was diving at the rim. He was trying to rebound. I saw highlights from the exhibition where he had a dunk. So it was cool to see that. He had a nice looking shot.
He probably knows he has to because he's probably going to be the oddball out in the rotation and playing when team zone and we really need a spot shooter or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that, they were okay individually. Murphy shot is pretty. It's also super quick. Let's see here. Ben looked great. Clough looked starting to look more comfy. Seeing Smith, Lawyer, Meyer on the floor for extended period of time was nice. Yeah, it was cute. I mean, these games, again, it's kind of an extension of the exhibition where there were just some interesting lineups out there. I mean, at one point, Braden was off the floor. Obviously, TKR was on the floor, and neither was Lawyer. So it's just your three studs were off the floor, in the middle of the game, which you're probably never going to see, in Big Ten play or against Bama or Auburn or Marquette or not Marquette, Iowa State. I mean,
Memphis, Texas
Memphis, Tech,
Wake Forest.
I thought Meyer looked pretty good. He's got some great passes. He's going to get picked off a little bit. Some of those passes he makes. Like,
built.
Yeah. My
dad made a comment. He goes, he's built like Kramer. And I'm like,
yeah, they talked about it on the telecast. And Robbie Homer right away goes, he don't play defense like Kramer.
No.
Because he's got to learn that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Not too many freshmen played defense like Chris Kramer. So
yeah. Yeah. That's
not and if Chris played nowadays rules, he'd probably foul out all the time.
So. Yeah. I thought Clough plus Jacobson played well as like a unit, like the center position. I think Benner had a block and Jacobson had a block. Like, when was the last time we had two blocks in the game? Like, we had two blocks all last year in a single game. So that was nice to see. It went kind of how I expected it. Didn't expect Lawyer to go for 30, which was awesome. What was Mason's record for threes? Was it eight nine? Or nine? Nine. Okay, so he was two off.
And I think I was looking through some research today. I think Lawyer's performance ties Carson Edwards for the most points in a season opening game, 30, I believe.
So. Yeah, he went 7 for 9 from three, which is unreal.
And 7 for 10.
7 for 10. Yeah, well, the last one he kind of, the one he was chucking, wasn't, he was definitely trying to headhunt that record. But overall, it was just nice to see. It was nice to see the new pieces. Obviously, we didn't see Antoine West, who's probably got a red shirt. If you had to take a guess as of right now, Aaron Fine is an awesome walk on. Rick here says he don't play D like Chris, but Meyer's trying. Yeah, definitely sure not effort. Team something goes to the roof if Meyer can figure it out. Yeah, what was cool is like just seeing the guys interact with him on the court of like. Just the teaching or like him just also constantly like talking with the coaches. You kind of wonder like some of these guys coming from a pro system, like, you never know with some of these guys, especially when, he's not older. He is like as a freshman age, but he was constantly talking with the coaches and trying to figure things out, which was cool. Braden was always on him and turn of talking to him. Jakari looked good. CJ, despite not scoring, I thought he was good. A really cool.
He didn't take a shot.
Cool. No, but I thought a really cool spot was right towards the end. He had a chance for a shot and he just like zipped it right to Jakari in the corner and Jakari nailed it. But it was just like one of those cool, like, the game was over at that point. Like he could have easily just taken that shot and get it up, but he just still made the right pass, which I think just goes to just how smart of a player he is. I think those two are going to be the real key to the season being what we want is being able to be a good on ball defender. Cause that's where I think we're going to struggle is just the defensive side and obviously rebounding too, still trying to figure that out, especially if for the reason Clough or Jacobson isn't in for whatever reason. But yeah, Clough definitely seemed like he's kind of getting into his own. At least I definitely got more comfortable as the game went on.
Second chance points he gets off boards is going to be huge. We missed that last year with the,
he knows how to rebound. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good free throw. I mean, pretty decent free throw shooter. Even Jameson, pretty decent free throw shooter. That's going to be huge too. Is you don't want those guys to be a black hole in it when it comes.
He's not scared to pop threes either.
I don't like his free shot.
Which it didn't look like that in the exhibitions, which is weird. But it was a line drive. Yeah. But overall it was good. It was great to be back in Mackey. You could definitely tell people were amped to be there. Paint crew was ready to go from the jump, so it was fun.
Rick here, do you feel like you don't really need CJ Harris and Meyer to go off every night? You just need one of those guys to show up every night, and with your big three, you think the odds are pretty good to win. It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely need, two of those. I'm not saying go off, but you probably need like
be productive.
Yeah, 8 points, 4 boards or something like that, a couple assists, no turnovers, little to no turnovers, but you don't need them to go for 15. But if those guys can, if two of those guys can go for 8 to 12, that's going to be huge in terms of what this team can do.
Will you be in attendance tomorrow night?
I will not, no.
No.
Nope. Ticket prices for tomorrow night are insane.
Every game, it seems
115
like.
Was the cheapest ticket.
Yeah, it's
wow.
That's the only downside about being a really good program is tickets on the secondary market are just high.
Well, tickets for Tuesday night were $50.
Yeah.
Tickets for Friday night are 115. I'm like, is it just because it's Friday night?
Probably.
That I think Oakland's a better team.
Yeah.
But I think it's a Friday night. It's probably the biggest
Peacock game. Peacock game tomorrow.
Is it 6:30 on a weekday is tough.
Yep.
It's a tough one.
Show that they were a good team against Michigan.
Yeah, well, I think Michigan's towards the top of the Big Ten. So
probably right behind us.
So I gotta pose this question. This was the title of the episode, or not the title, but it was the title on the graphic on the thumbnail of the episode. Is this season, in your guys' opinion, natty or bust? Or is it Final Four or bust? Or is it not even that? I want you, assuming everybody stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the, and I know Lynch, for your first things, win the Big Ten. I get that. I totally get that. But bigger picture, I mean, what can you, are you going to be able to look back on and say this season, we got everything out of the season that we wanted. It's a success.
Whew,
I know it's scary to throw it out there. I mean,
yeah, I lean more towards Final Four bus just because it's like, get there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like get to Indy, pray to God that like Louisville and Kentucky aren't there either, because they're going to bring a crap ton of fans. So it'd be really cool if you're, you know, Purdue's like playing, you know, there's Houston, there's Duke, and but it's like Purdue's going to have 80% of the fans. I don't know. I go back and forth of just like, you know, I'm like, I always lean towards Final Four. I'm like, screw it. Why not?
Yeah. You know, especially maybe if we weren't just there 2 years ago, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and I know we have this conversation a lot, like when's the next time Purdue's going to have a team, and they just keep reloading and mm-hmm. new studs walk in the door. But you always have that in the back of your mind. That's why I've been saying natty or bust, mm-hmm. but I think I'm right there with you now, Webby. The more I think about it, it's Final Four or bust. Like if this team stays healthy and they don't make the Final Four, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I know anything could happen in the crapshoot NCAA tournament, but I mean, I think just with the experience, the depth, the star power, the coaching staff, especially if you get that one seed in your path, St. Louis to Chicago to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to Rick's question or kind of his thing here. Attorney so fluky, can't be an Airbus. You win your conference win tournament. You're going to say, well, I don't give a crap about the conference tournament. I'll say that. Especially if you're like, if we know we're going to be a one seed. The way I think that the tournament would be like a failure is if like they don't get to the Sweet 16 or they bounce in the Sweet 16. I think if you can get, I say this now, I could live with an Elite Eight loss if we're one seed, if it's against like a two seed, but if we're playing like a five or whatever, like then I'll get, actually we can't be a five because that would be, we would have played them on Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Like a six or lower or something like that. That's one thing. But if it's like we're playing Tennessee, I would hate that. But like if you lose to like a Louisville's a two seed in your region, it's obviously it sucks, but in the Elite Eight. But if Purdue like it loses a Sweet 16 or before as a one or two seed, then that's pretty damn disappointing.
I mean, across the board of basketball analysts, I think we're like the majority pick to make the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
but I've barely seen anybody pick us to win at all, which is kind of weird.
Which is odd because right now I think we have the best odds for the championship. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people are.
Houston's the sexy pick. You've seen Duke. Pick.
Yeah.
But as far as making Final Four, it's almost every expert has us in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably why I'm saying the or bust thing, because I think eventually, and I know basketball can be fluky, tournament can be fluky, but I think eventually, like, Purdue's got it. And I think they're doing a better job of that as a culture. Got to embrace it. I mean, just.
I think you're seeing that, like, Painter, like, just like the mentality, like, especially, like, just what they did, like, just like the moves they made, like, to get, like, they got Oscar. And then obviously Meyer, like getting him, like that was just kind of like, whoa, it's like Painter's, he's going like all in, like he's done, like he's trying to win now, which is pretty cool, which I feel like, not to say he hasn't not always trying to win, but I feel like he's definitely like, he's always trying to build, but this just felt like was win the damn thing now. It's like, well, we have these three guys for one more year.
Yep.
I think what we're going to, for my prediction, I know you don't care about the conference tournament. If we lose the Big Ten, let's say to Michigan, like by some fluky tie
or
anything, now win the conference tournament, I want to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, overall. Yeah. If we don't win the Big Ten regular season, then sure, let's go win the tournament to get something. It's always going to say you want to get something out of it.
My concern is if we run into a BYU, Kansas, because this Peterson's kid, like I watched the highlights and I think I've seen Kobe Bryant again. Like
Chances are, if you run into one of those teams, you're probably doing pretty good. That's right. I mean, who knows what could happen? But like, you're probably playing them in an Elite Eight, a Final Four.
That's where I'm going with this. Is that they're going to be an Elite Eight? This is a high lottery pick freshman class. There's probably eight players that could go number
one of the better freshman class we've had in a long time. This class is stupid awesome.
It is. Duke's going to be on the opposite side of the bracket. Like, I'm not even really concerned about that. It's my concern is some of these freaky athletic guys getting beat off the dribble. Like you saw against Kentucky, is going to be probably Achilles heel of this team because we just don't have the size in the backcourt there, unfortunately. And that's probably, I wish we had like a Chris Kramer or an Ojale Eastern coming off the bench to kind of guard against those. And I wish Meyer would become that, but time will tell. I mean, but I think I can see heartbreak happening in the Elite Eight, but I'd love to just get to the Final Four and whatever happens at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you brought up a good point there, Aaron, with athletic teams like BYU, Kansas. We saw the athleticism of Kentucky, but on the flip side, you got to think the opposition's worrying about Purdue. Like, oh my gosh, we got to stop the best point guard in the country. We got to stop one of the best big men in the country, yada, 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 their depth. So I think Purdue's also one of the tougher matchups out there.
It is, but the problem is if Fletcher goes cold, that's my biggest fear, and ain't falling for Braden, then we're kind of like, it's TKR, Oscar, like CJ, we're asking Jakari.
Yeah, well, guys got to step up. I mean,
we heard that going into the Houston game last year, just like, oh, their length is going to be – They're just going to give so much problem. The defense is going to be incredible. They're going to shut them down. And Braden had one of the best games I've ever seen from a point guard. And we were, a correct call or an incorrect call going our way, of having a chance to win the game at the buzzer. And then they drew up one of the best out of bounds plays I've seen. That was incredible.
But I don't think that team had generational like talent. Like he's like Cameron Boozer or something like that.
Well, Cameron Boots is not even really athletic. He's just,
long,
but he's just like, I mean, he was like him versus TKR would be sweet to watch just because they're both like
similar. TKR is a man versus him, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's 23 versus an 18-year-old, but like Boozer's not he's not an AJ Dabata.
Give me that. No.
Like he is like
or Peterson from Kansas.
Yeah, but I agree here. Like CJ and Harris are going to be definitely the big impact defenders that we're going to need against guys like that. So,
or Jacobson becomes a straight up rim protector.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, it should be a fun season. It should be a fun season, and we're not going to panic even if the Boilers drop one here in the non-conference's gauntlet. There's a good chance they'll drop one somewhere. Mm-hmm. It might be next Thursday on the road, honestly, but we'll see. Should be a fun ride. And I got to get to my trivia question. Haven't done that yet. So Fletcher Lawyer hit 7 threes the other night. Now he has 204 for his career. He's 10th all time in 3-point field goals made at Purdue. Can you name 1 through 5 in order? All time Purdue 3-point leaders.
No. Oh, man.
I can't name it in order. Like,
I worry about who's number one. I feel like I know the answer, but I'm also nervous that I don't know the answer.
Like this is like the WNBA question you gave up on your other podcast.
Is Boogie number one? No,
Aaron?
He's not.
Aaron?
He's not.
Who's your guess for number one?
I'm going to go with what Rick said, Klein.
Carson Edwards is number one with 281. Ryan Klein is sixth with 238.
Number two.
It ain't Sasha.
I won't say yet. I want
to say. Sasha's up there. That's all he did for
three at home.
Years. I played a lot of home games. I'm between two guys.
Is Stevens up there?
No.
He's not in the top 10.
He's not in the top 10.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to go with my gut here. Etuan 2.
Lynch, yes. Following that, you'd think assist with each one there.
I want to say he's probably two or three, so sure, we'll go with Etuan on this one. I have someone else in mind.
Etuan is third with 243.
Okay, my other guess was Matthias.
Yeah, Dakota was my other one.
Dakota's second with 250, God, Midwestern Cowboy.
I was like, I thought Etuan was going to be number one. I was like, no, it's got to be Carson, even though he only played 3 years. And I was like, okay, Etuan's got to be second. Or is it Dakota? It's probably Dakota, but like, I just Etuan's got to be right there. Okay, so Carson,
Dakota.
Etuan's your top three.
Etuan. I'm going Sasha at four.
I think Sasha's five.
Sasha is seventh, 226.
Is it Ryan? Is it Ryan Smith?
Ryan Smith's not in the top 10.
Okay. Robbie?
Say Robbie. Yeah, he had 5 years.
Robbie is eighth, 216.
We're crushing this. Okay, hold on. Can I ask one question? Was it a Painter player?
Number four is not a Painter player.
David Teague.
Yes.
David Teague is fifth, 239.
Son of a bitch.
So the two guys you are missing in top 10 are Gene Cady players.
I'm going to go with first jersey I ever owned, Jerron Cornell.
I don't have a guess here.
Jerron Cornell's fourth, 242.
Rest in peace.
And the only other guy is number nine with 212. Any guesses?
Let me think. All right, so what's the order so far? So we got
Carson, Dakota, Etuan, Jerron Cornell, David Teague, Ryan Klein, Sasha Stevanovic, Robbie Hummel, blank, Fletcher Lawyer.
I'm not looking at the chat here. I'm not looking at the chat. So this was a Cady player. Did this player play in our lifetime?
Yes.
You're really.
It doesn't help. It's that didn't help me much. But
did he play in this millennium?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't think it's Big Dog because I feel like he was such a like a low post mid-range, guy. Yeah, your dad's screaming at me. I can just tell, Tanner.
I would not have done good with this trivia, guys. So you guys have done pretty good, I think. I could name names, but I couldn't have got the order.
I cannot. I feel like the guys I'm thinking of is like, I'm thinking of guys like in the 80s and or 90s, but I cannot think of, I like, just tell us.
Yeah.
Rick's right here in the chat. Chad Austin.
Okay. I'm glad I didn't look. I would
94 through 98.
Nice. I'm glad I didn't look, but nice. That was a good pull.
Surprisingly, the guy that was leading Purdue for a long time, three pointers, or not a long time, for a couple of years, Konzo Martin, not in top 10.
I didn't even think about Konzo. Wow.
I mean, Chad passed him, but all these other guys, I mean, Konzo was the top three for a long time, and then all these other guys.
Where's Troy Lewis on that?
It just shows the top 10.
Okay, yeah,
he would have all these Painter guys with basketball change and shit there went down.
And I could see a lot of people saying Rick Mount, well, he didn't play the 3-point line.
Yep.
So I didn't come and play till 85. So
yeah,
yeah. Carson 3 years, pretty special. Still having a good career over in Europe too.
Yeah, it's a flamethrower.
Yep. So. All righty. With that, let's pay some bills, shall we?
Sure.
And talk about two great sponsors that make this podcast possible. One of them is Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown's brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of us three visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month. And this is our first episode in November, so we got a new pizza of the month to talk about. It's the Peppas and Piggy. I remember this one from in the past. It's their traditional pizza sauce topped with classic and cup and char pepperonis, bacon, sweet peppadew peppers, mozzarella cheese, and finished with herbs and spices, served with a side of crushed red pepper. Sign me up. That sounds good. So any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5, BREAK5, all caps, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head.
They also have a 20-inch pizza for $18.99 right now.
Nice.
And follow them on social media. They've been having a lot of trivia nights lately. So go check that out. I know they had one a few weeks ago. Webby, your wife would have liked it. It was a Taylor Swift trivia night.
So she would have mopped the floor there.
Probably would have. Except I bet a lot of Swifties were probably there. So
yeah,
it'd have been interesting to watch. So, but they've been doing a good job doing trivia nights. So check out their Facebook for the latest trivia nights. And Webby, where'd you get that sharp looking hoodie at?
Yeah, we got the Purdue Drum Script hoodie that's coming from the shop, who's been making Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out in the garage, and they've got three retail locations across Indianapolis area. You got one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown Indy. So if you're coming to Indy anytime soon, maybe you're coming for the Indy Classic next month, make sure you stop on in, stop and see them. Boiler owned, great people. But if you're, it's November, Christmas is here. So if you're looking to shop online, get some extra discounts, we're all looking for any break we can. If you go to the shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, you get free shipping off your entire order. They're always running deals, whether it's, discounts off, free shipping, whatever it is. Tanner got a sweet little thermos there. I need to get one for my morning coffee. But yeah, they're great, super comfortable clothing, shirts, sweatshirts. The shirt I wore on Tuesday to Mackey was the one of the hoodies they had from last year that I love.
So want to know, wear it again.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a little warm, but it still felt good. Still looked good. But yeah, visit the shop indy.com, promo code breakdown, free shipping. Also sidebar, I was just like, oh, Friday, there's also a great game between Kansas and North Carolina. ESPN, can't watch it.
An Indiana Marquette game Sunday's ESPN.
That's why I have to figure that out for my wife before Sunday.
if you're asking me what jersey I'm wearing a Broncos Zach Allen throwback for the big Bronco fan, and play the Raiders here in 6 minutes or 7 minutes. So, yep. So, all right, fellas. Well, if you don't have anything else, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Grizzlies, and not get absolutely creamed by the Buckeyes.
I guess we didn't give a score prediction for the game tomorrow.
Which
Oakland, shout out to Oakland. I like their coach, has been there for forever. They always play a really good schedule. I'm gonna say Boilers 88-62.
Go Purdue 90, Oakland 65. You're muted, Lynch.
Purdue 95, Oakland 58.
Woo!
Player of the game. I'm going Jakari.
Oh, I like that one. I'll go TKR, assuming he's back tomorrow.
Plays, yeah.
Going CJ Cox.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep. All righty. Well, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Grizzlies, and somehow don't get smashed to smithereens by the
Boiler up.